You are listening to a sermon series from Open Door Fellowship Church.
Morning, Open Door. Thank you. It is such a privilege for me to be up here this morning giving the final message in this So What series. Next Sunday, we're going to have another living room session when we all deal with some questions and issues that might have come up along the way. But today, we're talking again about the implications, the ramifications of trusting Christ in our everyday lives. And today we're addressing a topic that I believe every one of us at some time or another has dealt with, and it is the question of, why is this not working? There we go. Whoops. Right there. How can I really rest? Jesus' solution to being exhausted and weighed down. By the way, if you want to follow along the outline and do a little fill-in-the-blank thing, you can do that on the app on your smartphone or other tablet device. If you go to the This Week Scripture section, and when that page comes up, there's a little gray area that says Take Notes. If you tap on that block, it will bring you to the outline for this morning where you can fill in the blanks as we go along. And in case you don't know or have forgotten, I will remind you that at the bottom of that page, there is an email button that will send to your email address your filled-in outline. And it looks something like this if you do it. I actually did it, and it works. There it is. Of course, it's easier to read on your computer screen than it is up there. So anyway. This morning, as is my custom, I'm going to ask that we stand together and read the scripture, and rather than reread this section again, we're going to read from Matthew chapter 11. So I'm going to ask if you'd stand with me and let's read these verses together. At that time, Jesus said, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for this way was well-pleasing in your sight. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Let's pray together. Father, so many of us, for so many different reasons, are in need of rest today. Spiritual rest, physical rest, all kinds of rest. And you have invited us this morning to come to you for that rest. The Lord Jesus himself said it. So I ask this morning, dear Father, that you will reveal to us these truths, which Jesus said you've hidden from the wise and intelligent, but reveal them to infants. And this morning, we are those infants in your arms, and we ask you to give us that rest. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. The message today keys in on the verses that are up here to your right, my left, where it says, so that you can see exactly what it is he is calling you to do. Grasp the immensity of this glorious way of life he has for his followers. Oh, the utter extravagance of his work in us who trust him. Endless energy, boundless strength. And the background to it is interesting because Jesus told us, we just read that this truth is available only to those who know the Father and have implicit trust in him. Look at what Jesus says here. I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and intelligent and have revealed them to infants. And the word he uses here is the word nepios, which literally means a very small child, an infant, someone that you would hold in your arms. What's interesting about that is that an infant really has no choice but trust the one holding him, does he? Quite literally, that person has the infant's life in his hands. There is an implicit trust there. When we come to the realization that we are like infants in the Lord's hands, and we revel in that realization, then we are in the place where the Father wants us to be with respect to trusting Him. Furthermore, we must remember that He loves us even more than any human parent has ever loved his or her own child. The Father's love for us is infinite. And we can and must trust Him absolutely in order to tap into the rest that Jesus is offering us in this passage. And we know all this because the Son, whom the Father has loved from eternity past, has revealed the Father and His love to us. So, Jesus talks about our situation. And our situation, he says, is that we have labored to the point of weariness. The word that Jesus uses here is particularly descriptive. It's the word kopiao, which comes from kapos, which means a load or a laborious toil, severe, hard work. And the idea is that we have worked and therefore grown weary. That's built into the word that he uses. So he's talking not about those who are sitting idly around twiddling their thumbs. He's talking about those who are working, those who are doing things, and even to the point of exhaustion. Perhaps you are in a particularly stressful time in your life. Maybe you have financial challenges, maybe even facing bankruptcy. So you are working very long, hard hours with no end in sight. And frankly, you're just completely worn out. Maybe you're a parent with a newborn. You can't remember what it was like to sleep more than 2 hours at a stretch. The baby's needs are constant and insistent. And of course, you love that baby more than life itself. But you are simply exhausted. There are days when you think, I'll never again feel rested and relaxed, refreshed. I don't even remember what that feels like. Or you might be someone who is the primary caregiver for a spouse or an elderly parent or some other loved one, and there are days when you think, this is going to go on forever. I will be the one who dies here from sheer bone weariness. Oh, don't get me wrong, you love that person in your care. He or she has for many years been the center of your world, the very heart of your life, but you are completely and absolutely spent. Or you might be someone who's in full-time or nearly full-time ministry expression of some kind, one that you love and you live for. But for months now, you have been feeling more and more burned out, bushed, completely fatigued. And at times you've even wondered, is it all worth it? If I just fell over dead right now, would anyone even miss me? And what would become of the good I've done through the years? Would it all be gone? I want us to remember these examples because we're going to come back to them later on in the message. So Jesus says that we are weary, we have labored to the point of weariness, and that we are loaded down with burdens. Loaded down with burdens. The word that he uses here for burden is the word for cargo, or something that has just been heaped upon us. Now, in Luke 11:46, Jesus uses that same word when he talks to the scribes and the doctors of the law, where he talks about they're putting burdens on others while they themselves don't carry them. And sometimes these burdens can be of our own making, like that, burdens of legalism or performance or appearance. But sometimes they're just the weight of all that we are required to carry in our current situation. We're just burdened. The one who is in the financial bind cannot simply opt out of shouldering that burden. The new mother cannot not tend to the needs of her newborn. The primary caregiver cannot ignore the plight of the one entrusted to his or her care. And the one doing ministry cannot simply stop doing the work that is so vitally important in people's hearts and lives and meeting their needs. So Jesus makes an offer. And his offer is simple. It is rest. Rest. That word means refreshment, relaxation. If you're interested in the Greek, it's anapao, which means it signifies to cause or to permit one to cease from any labor or movement, to recover strength. It implies previous toil and care. Its chief significance is that of taking or causing to take rest. And for every one of us who has ever been at the point of exhaustion, of being totally spent, the idea of ceasing from any labor or movement is a particularly attractive idea, isn't it? Jesus makes the simple offer, I will give you rest. That highlights an important idea, that rest belongs to Him and that He is willing to give it to us. Isn't that interesting? And He has a method in this rest, and the method is His yoke. Now, you may be a city person, a true urbanite, and maybe you don't know from yokes, so let's be very clear, we're not talking about this. Not yokes, that's a whole different thing. We are talking about a yoke. A yoke. In this case, a yoke for a pair of oxen. And this is what the drawing of those oxen in that yoke will look like. They are yoked together. Now, just about this time, you may be thinking, wait a minute. You just said He offered us rest, and instead, He's talking about a way that work gets done. What is this, some kind of bait and switch thing, or what? Well, my response would be, well, if we were dealing with some sort of huckster or charlatan, that might be the case, but we're hearing this from the very Son of God, the second person of the triune Godhead. Christ is always operating with our best interests at His heart. Perhaps it's worth taking a look at what He has to say here. So what He says is that His method is His yoke. And He says a couple things about this. First of all, He says that we are to come to Him. That's actually how He begins this entire section, isn't it? Come to Me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So He says we have to come to Him. There is no other place to go. There's no one else to whom we can turn. No other source of rest, relaxation, and refreshment other than Him. The whole thing starts with His saying, come to Me. And this is indicated in verses 25 to 27, where He says that in order for us to get this, to understand what He's saying, we simply have to know the Father. And we simply have to trust the Father. And we simply have to trust the Son. There's no other starting point. There's no other place you can go to begin. If you are here this morning and you have never made the decision to entrust your future, your entire life, your eternal destiny to Jesus, then today you can do that. You can do it right now where you're sitting. Apart from knowing and trusting entirely in Him, there is no hope. You can say to Jesus right now in your heart, I know and believe that you are God made flesh. I know and believe that you died for my sin. I know and believe that you were raised from the dead as proof that you had paid for my sin. And I trust you entirely for my salvation from sin and death and hell. Come into my heart and make me new. If you're willing to do that this morning, if you've never done it before, but you are doing it now, you are going to find that you're relieved of the biggest burden you've ever had. That's the burden of sin. That He has taken care of that. He's paid for it at the cross. And if you have done that, or if you want to know more about that, I would love to talk to you at the end of this service. I really would. To help you understand that and make sure that you really do, in fact, know Him and trust Him. But even for those of us who made that decision decades and decades ago, for myself, that was about 62 years ago that I made that decision, which is a long time, trust me. Even if we've made that decision long ago or even more recently, we still have to come to Him because He's the only source of help and rest. For those of us who have turned to Him and trusted in Him for eternal life, think of this salvation from this invitation from Christ as one to come home. To come home. Home is a wonderful thought, isn't it? It's a wonderful idea. The famous violinist and conductor André Rieu says, I am traveling half the year around the world every year. So coming home is one of the most beautiful things. I found a great quotation on the web from someone named Kendall Robb, whom I couldn't find out a lot about, but she apparently said, home is where you go to find the solace from the ever-changing chaos, to find love within the confines of a heartless world, and to be reminded that no matter how far you wander, there will always be something waiting when you return. John Steinbeck in The Grapes of Wrath wrote this, it's a thing to see when a boy comes home. And of course, Augustine, the bishop of Hippo, who lived in the fourth and fifth century, says, our hearts are restless until they find rest in Him. That's a great statement, isn't it? There's yet another aspect of this coming home idea that's worth considering. If we come to Him, then He makes His every resource ours. This includes the resources of the body of Christ itself. That ultimately it's not just Him and me in the yoke, it is all of us in there with me. We're all together in that. So Jesus says to come to Him, and then He says that we are to take His yoke upon us. Something very beautiful and important that I do not want us to miss this morning, that is, it is His yoke that we are taking. Twice in this passage, He refers to it as my yoke. Now, don't for a moment believe that this means that He's the one who owns the yoke, and that He is the master and puts some burdensome thing on us and we pull at His bidding. I believe it means that it is His yoke, that He is literally in the yoke with us. That's a great thought, isn't it? In a harness or a simple yoke, a single ox can pull 7 times his own weight. When you yoke 2 oxen together, they can pull 17 times their own weight. Isn't that amazing? How much do you suppose Christ can pull? Do you understand the implications of being yoked together with Him? We learn from Him, He says. When an ox is first put into a yoke, he finds it restrictive. Once he is broken to the yoke, and that is the phrase that trainers use, he is broken to the yoke, he finds that it becomes easy. The words that Jesus uses here for learn is the word manthano, which is the same root from which we get the word disciple, mathetes. So we are to become learners of his. And he says some things about himself in that context. He says that we become his disciples, those who follow, those who are apprenticed to him, if you will. You see, what a disciple was a follower of the master. Sometimes it's hard to distinguish the disciple from a servant of that master. He, in effect, he goes where the master goes. He does what the master tells him to do. In that way, he learns to follow, to trust, and to obey. And in that way, he learns how to do what the master did, how to say what the master says, how to live the life the master lives. So we are disciples. We are apprentices to Jesus. We follow him around and watch him and do as he says and do as he does. And Jesus says about himself that he is gentle. That's an amazing word. The word is praus, and it means having a positive moral quality of dealing with people in a kind manner, with humility and consideration. Isn't that amazing? That he who deserves our absolute obedience and worship treats us gently. Gently. The word humble, which he uses here, is a primary word that originally meant something that was low-lying. And it's used metaphorically to mean someone who is lowly of spirit, someone who is the opposite of haughty or arrogant. Jesus says that's what he's like. He's gentle and he's humble in heart. And these are some of the things that we learn by following him. In 2 Kings chapter 3, there's a remarkable incident. So shortly after the death of Elijah, and King Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, wants to know if he should enter into an alliance with the king of Israel and the king of Edom to fight the Moabite king. And he says this, "Is there not a prophet of Yahweh here that we may inquire of Yahweh by him?" And one of the king of Israel's servants answered and said, "Elisha, the son of Shaphat, is here, he who used to pour water on the hands of Elijah." Now think about that for just a moment, that Elisha, Elijah's disciple, is described as the one who poured water on Elijah's hands. That was what a servant did. When the master wanted to wash his hands, the servant poured water on them. What's fascinating is that Jehoshaphat, hearing that of Elisha, accepts that as qualifying him to take up the mantle of Elijah. Isn't that interesting? Jehoshaphat understood the concept of discipleship, the concept of apprenticeship. And so he accepted that as a qualification of Elisha to take that up. So, we learn from him, but we also find rest for our souls. It's really interesting to me that he uses the word soul here, the word psuche, which means soul or even breath sometimes, but it's in a lot of contexts, it's used to mean life itself or those who are alive. In the book of Acts, when it talks about the people on the ship that were about to be shipwrecked, he calls them a certain number of souls on board. And what Jesus is saying here is that I can offer you rest for your very life, that I can give you exactly what you need. So, then he says that his yoke is easy, and his burden is light. Now, how can a yoke, something that's designed to do hard work, really hard work, how can it be easy? That word means serviceable, easy, good, kind, loving, benevolent. How can a yoke be easy? How can a burden be light? The word light means easy to bear. It means not burdensome. How can a burden be not burdensome? It can only be so if Christ is in control of how much weight we have to pull, of how big a burden each of us has to carry. He is intimately, individually involved in precisely how big a job he is asking us to do. And again, he always operates with our very best interests at his heart. So if you're that person facing financial difficulties, come to Jesus. Trust him for help and comfort and rest. If you're that parent of a newborn, take his yoke upon you. Allow him to enter into that burdensome toil with you. He can carry the load, giving you only what you can bear. If you are that primary caregiver for someone in dire need, learn from Jesus. He is gentle and humble of heart. He will help you pull the whole weight because he can handle it. If you are that person in ministry that has become enervating and exhausting, yet you still love it, you're just bone weary. He offers you rest for your soul. Let him make the yoke easy for you, make the burden light for you. Whatever the reason for the situation in which you find yourself completely spent and burnt out, allow him to give you fellow laborers who can and will help you with the task at hand. Remember, he has all these resources, not just his own strength, but the strength of his body, the strength of his church. And he is offering you that. So, this thing is not going forward for some reason now. Oops, there we go. Whoops, we lost it. Can we go back a couple of steps there to that? All right, let's just go all the way through. Boom, 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 boom. We'll go all the way through it here. It'll take a second, but we can make it. Come on. For some reason, it doesn't want to go to that last page. Can you go to the next page for me back there? I don't know why it doesn't want to go to that last page. There it is. Ta-da! The true solution to being worn out and burdened down, weary and heavy laden, is not stopping working, but rather coming to Christ and becoming yoked together with him. Do you understand the importance of that? That he has not given us something to do which he himself is not willing to do. In fact, he enters into it with us in order to get it done. And in the process, he gives us rest for our souls. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we, as usual, are both amazed and surprised and gratified that you love us more than we can even know. That you're offering us yourself, your humility, your gentleness, and that we can learn from you, and that you will help us bear the burden, carry the load. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Amen. This morning, as we come to the table, it occurred to me that this is one of the ways that we as the body of Christ come to him. Because this reminds us of that place where Christ dealt with our sin, where Christ gave us a way out. and in the process brought us to himself, brought us to the Father, so that we could trust him by giving his body and his blood for us. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for what Christ did for us at Calvary. We will never, ever get tired of thanking you for what he did, for what he was willing to do for us. And so, Father, as we come now to these elements, I pray that we will understand the significance of his body given for us, of his blood shed for us, and that we together will celebrate his death. In Jesus' name,